Have you been looking for a Taekwondo podcast with qualified people who know what they're talking about, who help you keep up with everything going on in the Taekwondo world? Well, you found it. This is the Taekwondo Podcast. Taekwondo news, competitions and other events, training and sports science, keeping the fans, coaches and high-performance athletes up to date with the latest news and trends on Olympic Taekwondo. Let's do this. This is the Taekwondo Podcast. And here's your host, Cesar Valentin.
Hello and welcome to the Taekwondo Podcast. We're a podcast based out of Austria in English language for everyone out there who likes Taekwondo. In this episode, we talk with our friend Dennis White.
The newest tool out there for Taekwondo studios is the 2020 Armor Scoring System. 2020 Armor was founded in 2016 with the mission to enhance the way martial artists train, compete, and engage with the sport through the development of innovative products. The sports technology company has developed martial arts scoring equipment and software, transforming martial arts into a mainstream professional sport like soccer. The company's flagship product tracks impacts through a vest and headgear that shows the score on the vest itself using scoring from popular video games. Customers include the most prominent martial art clubs in the world. The founders and investors of 2020 Armor are former professional martial art athletes. IEAD Sports, founded by the family members of Adidas, is a significant investor. 2020 Armor's mission is to inspire people to fall in love with martial arts. Through the development of the UBL, the United Battle League, and 2020 Armor, the plan is to bridge the tech gap some combat sports are being made to face. Step up your game with 2020 Armor.
This podcast is supported by Hawken Dynamics. Hawken Dynamics believes that technology is most useful when it stays out of your way. That's why Hawken developed the world's first wireless force plate system with extreme usability. It is the quickest, easiest to use, and most robust solution on the market. It is trusted by all sports organizations, large and small, as well as tactical, military, and rehabilitation environments around the globe. It's force testing in the palm of your hand. Here at Vintaekwondo Center, we use Hawken Dynamics to test and monitor our team. The cloud-based platform allows us to access data and publish a variety of reports on the go. My favorites are trend reports and, of course, weight reports, where I can monitor different metrics to view progress and identify performance indicators, or to compare weights to a baseline data range. I use it on a daily basis to identify readiness. A simple jumping test takes me less than a minute to assess the entire team. Having my own Hawken Dynamics force plates allows me to test reactive strengths, maximum strengths, rate of force development, asymmetry, and so much more. The real-time feedback on the app is useful not only for testing, but as a training tool, making it more accurate and at the same time more engaging for the athletes. If you are interested in learning more about Hawken Dynamics or getting your own, the team can be reached at info@hawkendynamics.com or on Instagram or Twitter at Hawken Dynamics.
This podcast is sponsored by First Beat Sports. First Beat Sports combines the most comprehensive analytics in team sports with a customizable interface to support real-time monitoring, recovery monitoring, performance management, and much more. The result? Data-driven decisions that support your athletes and team training, recovery, and performance goals. First Beat Sports is trusted by professionals. Over 23,000 athletes representing over 1,000 teams around the world rely on the solution to train and plan with confidence on a team and individual level using HRV-based insights. For more information, please visit our website, firstbeat.com/sports.
You're listening to the Taekwondo Podcast. Now, back to your host, Cesar Valentin.
Welcome to our podcast. I'm Coach Cesar Valentin, and with me is Coach Dennis White. Hi, Dennis. How are you?
Hello, Cesar.
Well, this
I'm
is
doing very well.
This is another edition of those unscripted podcasts. We've had you before, so perhaps we should, for everyone who didn't listen to the first episode with you, could you please tell us a short introduction about yourself?
Absolutely. And first, thank you for inviting me on again. It's an honor. I have been a Taekwondo coach for most of my adult life. I have been a coach of the U.S. national team on the cadet, junior, and senior level. And I've had many successful athletes, but my most successful athlete is Anastasia Zolotich, who won a gold medal in Tokyo at the 2020 Olympics.
Well, you have quite a resume, and if people should listen to the other episode where we talked in the first season about your program and some tips how to develop Taekwondo programs, and it's a very interesting episode. This time I invited you specifically because you were one of the first people to deal with the new height divisions for the cadets since you guys had the national team trials in the U.S. Well, it was just 2 days ago. We're recording this podcast with 1 week in advance. And I think it's interesting to see the perspective of someone who already tried a high-level competition with these new height divisions for the cadets.
Yes. Yes, we did. We used the new height divisions at our team trials for cadets, and there was a lot of anxiety related to that with among my athletes, parents, and many others within the U.S. So we went into it really anxious, and but the experience was not as difficult as anticipated. So there were a lot of matches where there were sometimes 10 kilos difference in the athlete's weight. But I will say that it seemed to go pretty well. Very few injuries. I didn't really notice any injuries among the cadets other than the normal kicking elbows and clashing shins type of injuries. But at the end of the day, it went pretty well.
One of the questions I have, and that most people probably do, is from the rules. The height divisions divide the athletes into heights. They group them into heights. There's a minimum and maximum height, like it was with weights, but then there's the extra weight limitations. And the question is, if you are in your height category, but you don't follow into this threshold of weight, if you're too light or too heavy, what happens to you?
Well, sadly, those athletes were not allowed to compete, at least at our team trial event. They either had to actually lose a couple of kilos if they were too heavy, or in some cases they may have had to drink an excessive amount of water to meet a minimum threshold. So it was projected among the athletes that we had participating in our cadet team trials, it was anticipated that about 10% of them would be disqualified based on how they had registered. So in the end, I'm not sure how many were actually disqualified, how many people decided not to even take the trip, just stayed at home instead of worrying about it. But yes, it was anticipated that 10% of the athletes would not meet the threshold of weight to participate.
That's quite a big threshold, because 10%, it's a big cut. That means that out of 100 people, 10 stay watching just because they don't have the weight to compete in that division, even though it's something they cannot change, or it's not healthy to change in cadets, either put on weight or lose weight. And that's actually the opposite of what in the rules were created for. If you divide the athletes by height, and probably will have the chubby guys competing with the top fit guys. And if you're genetically predisposed, especially in cadets, it happens a lot, cadets, females, that you are genetically predisposed to be skinny, ectomorphic, tall and skinny, and you're basically not allowed to compete in a sport where a couple of years later, when you get into juniors, it's your big advantage. It's the anthropometric advantage, the body size, the body type. How do parents, athletes, coaches dealt with that?
Well, they are not happy about it. the families that I've spoken with are very upset about it. And I believe that Anastasia, for instance, probably would not have been allowed to compete because she was always the tall, lean athlete. So what does that do for a developing cadet?
Well, it removes them from the top competitions, since the world championships are going to be in height divisions, and the WT asked the countries to do their national team tries in those divisions. So basically, we're telling a generation, you have to sit down and wait until you're a junior and you go back into the normal weight divisions.
That's the way it seems. You know, it's I think that there are going to be a large group of coaches and athletes that boycott any events that are using the height classes and seek out other competition venues.
Wouldn't it be, well, did you talk to the person and the people who were behind this? I think the inventors of this system were present at the US Open. Did you get a chance to hear to a presentation from their side or to talk to them about what was going on?
Well, I am looking forward to talking to them about that. The U.S. Open is taking place in a few weeks. Well, in 2 or 3 weeks in Las Vegas. Our team trials was not attended by the people in charge of making that change. So I haven't had the opportunity yet.
Well, it's definitely a strange situation to be in. Because if you cut a generation of athletes, cadets, and especially when the parents are very engaged into their development, you're going to have a big handicap when you come to juniors. Also, the fact that you will be competing with athletes in a division that will not see again when you move to the junior division, because then you'd sell by weight division.
Yes. And in fact, I'm seeing that happening right now, because all of my cadets competed in height classes for this team trials, and some of them are young first-year cadets. So the people that they competed with last week at the U.S. Open in 2 weeks, they're going to be facing a different group of athletes. So, yeah, it's an issue.
Do you think that the height divisions are adequate? Wouldn't it be more fair to, if you want to avoid, and I understand why they created the rules, they want to avoid those coaches that make the athletes lose a lot of weight in their very young ages, and that's of course health reasons, it's very dangerous, and you want to minimize the effect of the pressure of weight classes, the mental stress of having to cut weights, to have a diet. But isn't that part of being a combat sport, that you have to deal with weight classes, and later on you will have to look with that at body image issues, nutrition issues, and even eating disorders, as is it's part of the all kind of sports that are weight divisions, and not only combat sports. There we're talking about rowing and other sports also have weight divisions, weightlifting and all those kind of sports that have weight divisions. They tend to create a health impact, especially on the mental health of the athletes. Do you think having height divisions is something that should be implemented even to other divisions, not only the cadets?
Well, my first thought is that I'm not a fan of the height divisions, but when it comes to cadets, I understand their logic and reasoning for wanting to keep things healthy. I agree that we have all seen athletes who literally have to be assisted in standing to get on the scale. And that is very unfortunate. But I think that height and weight can both be taken into account in a different way. I feel like if you are a certain height, there could be perhaps two or maybe three different divisions that you could be a part of, instead of restricting it simply by height. I think it could be altered, and a more reasonable way could be found to help athletes avoid extreme weight cuts.
Yeah, for example, if you're too light for your division, there's an issue. You probably would have to move you down to a lower division. It's unfair. That's the reason why they created the height regulation. So putting them up, even if they're heavier and smaller, or if they are, it's because that's not a big healthy issue. It's a matter of body type and also performance type of the player. But if you're too light for the height division, move you up to the next higher division would probably, definitely would cut the height advantage and that still allow you to compete. Do you think something like that would make more sense?
I definitely think something like that would make a lot more sense. You know, I know within my club, I don't recommend athletes cut weight. I tell the parents that these athletes are growing. We can't, you know, take a chance on stunting their growth. But if you do want to lose a little bit of weight to make a lower weight category, that's a family decision that I would not impose on anybody. But not everybody, not every club owner or every national team coach has the same philosophy. I get that.
Wouldn't it make more sense to put the cadets to do the weight-in on the same day they're fighting? Or have a random weight-in on the moment you test your equipment, for example, so that you just check the PSS is working, but also check your weight to avoid weight manipulations?
I would definitely recommend that over what they're currently doing. I think that would be a good way to keep the athletes from extreme weight cuts. But unlike what we do with the seniors, I don't think there should be any 5% weight allowance, just strict whatever weight class it is. You have to be within that weight when you step on the scale.
It makes more sense for sure. Have you seen from the athletes that were competing, you were telling me like around 10%, you know, how many athletes were then in general or more or less that were cut from the not having the necessary weight?
So among our cadets, it was we had around 80 athletes competing. And prior to the event, I was informed that about 8 of those athletes would be disallowed based on their body weight.
And so how many of those were because they were too light, and how many of them were because it was too heavy?
There were actually both. I know of 2 athletes that were too heavy, and I think all of the remaining were too light.
Okay, so being too heavy is then not a health concern then. So the justification, it's funny because the rules were created to do the opposite, to protect the ones that were too light to eliminate the ones who were too light for their height divisions. And the rules were, I'm pretty sure there's some thought behind it. And I've mentioned this when the rules came out over a year ago, that the height divisions are based on BMI, and the body max index that it was applied is World Health Organization for developing countries. Do you think it makes sense to apply it on a developing country?
Probably not. You know, I don't think the same standards can be held all around the world, but you know, what we have currently, the height classes, I think it needs adjusting. I don't think we're at the final answer.
Well, the reasoning behind it is definitely okay reasoning. I just wonder how much thought it was put onto those weight classes and height divisions. Let's see what's coming up. Are the US Open is going to be with height divisions as well? And I assume most of the Opens will have to change their outlines, that the ones that are outside, so that they introduce height divisions as well. Then we'll have to revisit this.
I have not. Speaking with the staff at USA Taekwondo, they still haven't decided if they're going to use height classes for the US Open. So I'm not 100% sure that's going to happen, but it's probably better to make a change sooner or later if we have to prepare these cadets for world championships.
I can imagine how hard it is for the countries to qualify athletes if they go to competitions in weight divisions and then they have to qualify in height divisions, then the nomination systems, especially for those countries that require competitions in G tournaments or E tournaments, in case of US, Pan American region can also compete in the E tournaments in Europe and get the cadet and junior ranking. There's the question of how do the countries will qualify the athletes for their national teams for the world, but also how will the European Union, for example, create a ranking or update the ranking, since there is a ranking based on weight divisions. Weight divisions are allowed. They're still part of the regulations. And it's will they create a new ranking? Who knows? I think that's something that we will have to wait and probably interview someone from ETU to tell us about it. What do you think would be the most reasonable solution right now?
Well, during this transition period, I think we probably need to have still use both, allow people to earn ranking points in both. I mean, there has to be some sort of fair way of allowing athletes to earn ranking points. Another major issue is, for instance, our USA team trials, just held this past weekend, was an event to qualify for Cadet World Championships 6 months from now. So how many of those athletes are not going, well, their heights are going to change. How many of those athletes will outgrow the division that they qualified in?
Well, that's also with weight, but of course, weight can be always controlled and height, not so much, actually not at all. So I hope the problem doesn't show up. I'm pretty sure there will be a minimal margin of athletes where it will happen. And that's definitely a headache ahead. So interesting to see how it's going to go, especially the national team trials. We're talking about the competition. You said before that you didn't see big issues with the matches and the competition was pretty seamless. But when you have a difference of performance or level of the athletes in a competition, and you will see that in smaller events where you get some national level athletes or international level athletes competing with rookies in the smaller events, you will definitely see the top guy competing with a chubby smaller one, because of the height divisions, they will be the same size, but definitely not the same weight. And as you mentioned, 10 kilos difference makes a difference. And with the head kicks being so important, having the reach advantage of being slim and being lighter, it's going to be quite a different fighting style. Do you think the players can prepare? Or do you think the coaches can prepare that you will have to fight with someone that is 10 kilos heavier and it's the same size? Do you think the training itself will change?
I imagine it has to change. Things are constantly changing in Taekwondo. We find ways to adapt, and most of the top coaches are going to figure out a way to make this work. But sadly, in our sport, the rules are constantly changing, and we always find a way to adapt. But it would be nice if we don't have to do that constantly. That when that day comes, I think we'll all be very happy.
The questions I guess automatically crosses my mind is, how is the fight in the clinch situation when the weight is so different? Did you see many different clinch situations or some awkward situations on the clinch?
Well, at our USA team trials, as soon as the athletes came together, they were immediately breaking them up. So there was very little fighting on the inside, and again, that's one of those rule changes that could be very different, a very different interpretation at the very next tournament. But yes, I could see that being an issue.
Even though you're not allowed to stay in a clinch fighting, you're still allowed to push. And I imagine that the weight difference is an issue there.
Yeah, whoever the heavier athlete is definitely going to have a strength advantage.
This is definitely a situation that we need to observe and revisit later on. I think it's very important to listen to your opinion. It's very important for the coaches that are listening and having some competitions ahead. This podcast is going to be released around the 21st of February, so right before the big events, right before Canada Open, before Costa Rica, before Slovenia. And I don't know how many of those will be with height divisions, I think. And so far from us, from the outlines, they're still on weight divisions. But as you said, they have to be updated. Probably there will be some last minute changes and we will have height divisions. If not, everything as before. If there are some changes to the outlines, I guess we'll have to visit this issue again. Are you going to US Open, anything else besides the US Open this year?
Well, yes, I'm going to the US Open, and we have our cadet and junior Pan Am championships in April. I'll probably be attending that, and then we're heading to Europe in the summer, maybe the Luxembourg Open, to try to gain more experience. But whatever decision the majority of the tournaments make, I hope they make it soon so we can focus on helping those athletes prepare. Having two separate systems is makes it very difficult to help these athletes get into the best position they can for victory.
Talking about systems, also important to talk about the PSS, the Protector Scoring System, and the scoring systems out there. From the versions I have from either KPNP or from Dedo, there are no predetermined settings for the height divisions. How did you guys do it in your event in the US Team Trials?
I believe they were using the PSS setting based on the highest weight of the weight class. So the lighter athletes were at a significant disadvantage.
Which PSS system did you guys use?
We used Dedo.
Dedo. I don't know from the top of my head, is the Cadets World Championships with Dedo or with KPNP?
I am not sure.
Okay, because the seniors, that's KPNP. I'm pretty sure the Cadets as well. In Europe, KPNP is making a strong pressure and presence. Most of the events in the upcoming weeks will be with KPNP. Actually, most of the tournaments that were always with Dedo will be with KPNP. And I'm quite wondering how the systems are going to work. Because on KPNP, the weight difference is very important, even more than on the Dedo, that the technique of the kick is changing, and it doesn't need to be so strong sometimes with the scratches being scored and other techniques.
Yes.
The KPNP is definitely, as you mentioned, the lighter athlete will have a big disadvantage.
That's the truth. So, yeah, it's interesting that KPNP is taking advantage of the problems that Dedo experienced at the World Championship. So I personally wish they could get to the point where there is one system that everybody used and avoid these back and forth issues and different training styles for the different systems. It would make our lives a lot easier.
Yes, we mentioned this before. You don't train with different balls. If you are in soccer or NFL or basketball, it's the same size, same material, same distance to the rim and all these things. And when it comes to Taekwondo, you have two different systems. We had the podcast a few weeks ago, right after the Worlds with Dedo. They announced an exclusive interview with our podcast, the Generation 3 that is going to be tested in the next month or two. But there is such a big difference on how the technological development of the PSS is, that one and the other are total different sides of the game, not even two sides of the same coin. One uses a electronic NFC proximity sensor, the other one uses a magnetic. So there's very different engineering and hardware differences between the two systems. I'm so happy that at least the scoreboard from the coach's perspective is the same, because in the beginning it was even different. You had to be able to read two different scoreboards. Now at least it's only one scoreboard, at least for the coaches, for the referees, is very different. The computer system, honestly, I like KPNP better because I have touchscreen laptops and it works quite well. But if the systems are so different and you train so differently, it's already a headache. Now you have height divisions and weight divisions, and so it's going to be too many variables to and too little time to practice everything.
Yes, I had an opportunity to listen to your podcast with Dado, and the two major changes that they plan to make with the gyro sensor and the ability to score punches. I'm very curious to see how that works. I'm actually skeptical that either one of them will work, but any opportunity that we have to eliminate human error from the scoring has the potential to be a big positive. So I'm very anxious to see how it works out.
I'm happy that the systems are getting better and better. They definitely are compared to the first one, especially the first generation over, I don't know, 12 years ago when it started, 11 years ago. And the systems before, LaJust or Adidas, they were so flawed. They had so many flaws that it was... The other day I was using still the generation one, and it was so annoying with the disconnection of the transmitters and all these things. So I'm happy that the system is out there. I remember as well as you do the 2008 mismatches and the poor referee decisions that you lived for decades, and it was being eliminated. The fact that they keep giving more power to the referees, the new rules even give them two cantrons on different situations to be allowed. The fact that there's only four cantrons allowed per round, it's so much power to the referees that I hope it can be mitigated, and that the systems getting better will definitely help us. But again, we change the systems, we improve the systems, we improve the referee rules, and then it comes height divisions and total different headaches for us to manage.
It's always a challenge. They don't want to make it easy for us, but I agree that the PSS technology has come a long way. Every once in a while, we'll have to attend a local event where we use sometimes even something like a ringmaster or, you know, total judge based system. And then occasionally Gen 1 Dado, and I'm so thankful that we don't use those anymore. Things have gotten much better for the athletes and coaches. So I am hopeful that technology will continue to improve.
Dennis, thank you very much. I think I will invite you again after US Open if it's with height division, so we can talk a little bit about it. And after you talked also to the WT people who came out with these regulations, and see how it develops in the coming weeks, because I think this topic is definitely going to be a recurring topic, the height divisions in the cadets.
Thank you, Cesar. I'd love to come back and report what I learned at the US Open.
Thank you very much, Dennis. I wish you and your players a lot of success in the next events. It was a pleasure being here with you and with everyone who is listening. This was a Taekwondo podcast. If you haven't already, listen to our other episodes that are available wherever you listen to your podcasts. We are releasing new episodes every Tuesday. Stay tuned, subscribe to the podcast, leave us a positive review, and share it with your friends. See you next time.
You've been listening to the Taekwondo Podcast, keeping the fans, coaches, and high-performance athletes up to date with the latest news and trends on Olympic Taekwondo. Your host, Coach Cesar Valentim, has almost 20 years of experience with high-performance Taekwondo and has worked all around the world as a Taekwondo trainer. We hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us on Instagram at Taekwondo Podcast, on Facebook at Taekwondo Cast, and the website taekwondopodcast.com. See you next time.